Good morning, and welcome to our Sunday edition of America's Leaders from Coast to Coast, the 250th anniversary edition. I'm Stephen.
And I'm Leah.
Yesterday, we started our weekend journey through history with the first president, George Washington. Today, we turn the page to number two, a man who had the impossible task of following a living legend. We are talking about the Colossus of Independence, John Adams.
Poor John Adams. He is arguably the most underappreciated founding father. If Washington was the symbol of the revolution, Adams was the engine. He was the guy in the Continental Congress who actually did the work, whipping the votes, writing the resolutions, and arguing until he was blue in the face. But he had a personality problem. He was short, stout, incredibly argumentative, and famously insecure. He once said, "I am obnoxious, suspected, and unpopular." And he was kind of right.
Before the presidency, his defining moment was actually a legal case. In 1770, after the Boston Massacre, British soldiers were put on trial for murder. The entire city wanted them hanged. But John Adams, a patriot, agreed to be their lawyer.
It was an act of incredible integrity. He believed that in a free country, even hated enemies deserve a fair trial. He argued that facts are stubborn things, and he actually got most of the soldiers acquitted. It proved that the rule of law mattered more to him than popularity. That same stubbornness defined his presidency. He took office in 1797, and the world was on fire. The French Revolution had turned violent, and France was seizing American ships. His own party, led by Alexander Hamilton, was screaming for war. They wanted to build a massive army and crush France.
And this leads to the XYZ Affair. It sounds like a spy novel.
It basically was. Adams sent diplomats to Paris to negotiate peace. But three French agents, referred to in documents as X, Y, and Z, demanded a huge bribe just to start the meeting. When Americans found out, they were furious. "Millions for defense, not 1 cent for tribute," was the slogan. Adams became a hero overnight. He built up the U.S. Navy. He's the father of the Navy. And he had the perfect excuse to declare war. It would have guaranteed his re-election. But he didn't do it. He knew the U.S. was too weak to fight Napoleon. So he sent another peace mission. It split his party in half and ruined his political career. But he avoided the war. He later said he wanted that on his tombstone. "Here lies John Adams, who took upon himself the responsibility of the peace."
We have to talk about the dark side. The war hysteria made him paranoid, and he signed the Alien and Sedition Acts.
This is the biggest stain on his legacy. In 1798, fearing French spies, Adams signed laws that made it a crime to criticize the president. They literally threw newspaper editors in jail for calling Adams fat or pompous. It was a massive violation of the First Amendment. Adams didn't initiate the laws. Congress did, but he signed them and let them be enforced. It terrified the public. People thought, "We just got rid of a king, and now Adams is acting like one." This is what gave Thomas Jefferson the ammo he needed to defeat Adams in the election of 1800.
Let's look at the nation he was presiding over in that year, 1800. The census data shows a country in transition.
The population had jumped to 5.3 million, growing fast. But the biggest change was the capital itself. In November 1800, just months before his term ended, Adams moved into the new President's House in Washington City. It was a disaster zone. The city was a muddy swamp with almost no buildings. The White House was unfinished. It was cold, damp, and smelled like wet plaster. Abigail Adams, his brilliant wife, and really his co-president in many ways, famously had to hang their laundry in the East Room to dry because it was the only warm spot. It was a miserable end to a miserable term.
And the election of 1800 was brutal. Jefferson defeated him. And for the first time in modern history, power had to transfer from one political party to another.
People were genuinely afraid of a civil war. But Adams did something remarkable. He just left. On the morning of Jefferson's inauguration, Adams got on a stagecoach at 4 a.m. and rode out of town. He was bitter. He didn't stick around to shake Jefferson's hand, but he stepped aside peacefully. He went home to his farm in Quincy, Massachusetts, and lived for another 25 years. He and Jefferson eventually reconciled and wrote beautiful letters to each other. And in one of the craziest coincidences in history, they both died on the exact same day. July 4, 1826. The 50th anniversary of the Declaration. Adams' last words were, "Thomas Jefferson survives," not knowing his friend had died hours earlier.
That is our profile for the second president. Join us tomorrow morning as we jump back to the present day to meet the current members of Congress. Please note, AI assists in the creation of this podcast from pointedwords.com. And remember, better pointed words than pointed swords.